Why am I dating you?
It's time for Devil's Business.
Oh, that's right. It's for the sex. Oh, my.
Welcome to the Devil's Business podcast. Now, here's your host, Patrick Jolly, and the guys of MyFavoriteSin.com.
I'm here with Aaron, a.k.a. Sofane, Zach, a.k.a. T, and via phone, Nick, a.k.a. Alcoholic, and our special guest, AJ, a.k.a. Crash. What's up, guys?
What's up?
Hi.
Hello.
We're doing the Dating Rock Bottom episode where we talk about stories about a girl that we were dating and we just shouldn't have been dating in the first place. But before we go into the stories, let's go to our sponsor, My Favorite Sin. T, tell me the promos of the week.
Kick off our week with Main Stage Wednesdays at Rockin' Taco. We got the new Sky Deck open, looking very beautiful. We continue that on to the Industry Nights on Thursdays at TNG. Big night of the week. We got a Havana free guest list, opera. We got discount tickets using the promo code Sinner. And we also have Cosmo Lava on Fridays, Metro Midtown Fridays is what we're calling that. And it's on the 31st, actually, on Halloween night, we have a big promo going on, contest.
I'm actually hosting the costume contest at
Patrick
Cosmo.
Comma, or parentheses, Elvis Jolly is going to be emceeing this. And there's actually $1,000 worth of prizes, so make sure you hit up Cosmo Lava for Halloween.
Promo code Sinner on that, too.
Yeah, and then we wrap up our week.
I think it's Sinners with an S on that one.
We had a
debate on that one. Yeah, Sinners for the discount tickets for the Halloween
contest.
I mean,
there are Sinners, but whatever.
It's multiple. It's no big deal.
It's okay. And then we wrap up the week on Saturday nights at TNG. And make sure to check out our website, MyFavoriteSin.com, for all of our promos for the week.
Now let's get into our first story for Dating Rock Bottom. And Nick, you got the first story, and you're doing it by phone. It's 18 and Lobster to Go.
Yeah, man, I'm phoning it in. I guess a really down time for me in my dating life. I kind of realized that this was not where I wanted to be. I had gotten out of a bad 5-year relationship. It started to go downhill pretty fucking fast towards the end. So, you're new, single-ish or whatever, you're trying to play the field. And I run into this straight out of the fucking womb, fucking 18-year-old chick who had a fake ID. She had a fake ID, and she's running through the clubs and all this shit. And I meet her, and of course, I'm a fucking sorry, sad sap. So I'm like, oh, this fucking bitch is cool. She was adorable. Just, freshly 18, tiny little girl, blonde hair, fucking huge smile. And when I met her, she was like all over me. And I'm like, okay, this sounds like about fucking hell yeah. So I line up a fucking date with this girl. I'm going to knock it out of the park. And she was a cool chick. She seemed like mature for being 18,
right.
Which she wasn't. But
that's what you're telling yourself.
You try to talk yourself into an 18-year-old girl.
Yeah, that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, when you're like fucking 32. Aaron, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, enough.
So anyway, you guys know how I like to do it, and I like to take them to a fucking steak dinner and kind of, fucking pull the wool over their eyes, give them a nice time, get those doughy eyes, and maybe, whatever, see where it leads. Well, she was a cool chick, and I took her to Ruth Chris, right? And
Nice.
And of course, I went there for me, not just to impress her. I wanted to get a fucking steak because I love them.
sit alone eating a steak and just bring an 18-year-old with you.
And then you get a chance to have some asparagus.
Fuck you. Not even on Christmas. So we walk into the dining room. You guys been to that, Ruth Chris, and I walk in, and I look like a man, and then I have this child with me.
you brought your daughter. That's nice.
Dude, the median age of that room with both of us factored in was still like 65. You know what I mean?
Oh, you're such a molester.
No shit. So needless to say, there was some rubbernecking going on, whether they were judging or they wanted a fucker too. I don't know which one it was.
You hope it's the latter.
So anyway, of course, I order a cocktail, and I'm like, You don't want one, right? Because, anyway, forget about it. I'm going to have a captain in dinner.
She's going to watch you drink. There's nothing better than getting drunk in front of an 18-year-old.
Super romantic.
Apple juice, animal crackers.
Yeah, exactly. I'll have a captain and ginger. She's going to have an apple juice. That'll be perfect.
We'll bring her the animal crackers.
Listen, can I have a cocktail for a grown person and get her a glass of milk or something? But, so we get some appetizers or whatever, you know. She gets a salad, no big deal. And I'm like, all right, bitches get salads, whatever. But that was just like her precursor for this fucking feast she was about to lay on me, which I was unaware of at the time.
Right.
So I'm going through the fucking menu, and you guys ever ordered lobster from a fucking nice steakhouse?
No. I don't have that kind of budget.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Last Saturday with you, we did.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Nick is paying the bill. We only ordered a lobster when Nick is paying.
Exactly.
I've noticed that trend. Well, this little fucking starlet had the same fucking idea. She was like, this dude's going to take me out. I'm going to fucking go for broke. So she's like, yeah, I'll have the, I'll have the lobster. You know, just go ahead and bring 3 pounds of it. And I'm like, no,
yeah, bring 3 pounds of lobster. Can you crush Fabergé eggs on top of it? That'd be nice.
Jesus, so, like, she had gotten a loan. It was like $150 worth of lobster just for her. And I'm like,
ah, so who won there? You're like, I get to drink. And she's like, I get to eat lobster. Sucker.
Yeah. She's like, is lobster good? I'll have that.
I'm 18, but I wasn't born yesterday.
The day before that.
Can you feed your high-priced steak to my lobster before you cook it?
I want a Kobe lobster.
Kobe lobster with a Kobe steak.
And I don't know if it was the gleam in her eye or whatever happened when that fucking lobster showed up, but apparently lobster equals vagina-drying 18-year-old, and it slammed shut, and I knew I wasn't going to get any pussy.
Yeah, she did. Well, yeah, Nick, that's how she wins. That's how she won the whole night. She's like, look, he thinks he's going to fuck me, so I'm going to fuck
him. And I'm just
going to get a lobster. Yeah.
Pounds. Perfect. She's going to be shellfish.
3 pounds.
Bam!
So then I kind of realized that this date was pointless. I mean, yeah, I took a fucking 18-year-old out on a date right after I got out of a long, terrible relationship.
You should have taken
that's
a Chipotle.
It. That's all I got is a little fucking thing to say, hey, I dated an 18-year-old.
Yeah.
I barely got a fucking kiss on the cheek after I dropped. Okay, it was $300 before the tip.
No, Nick, there was no tip. That's the problem. You didn't get the tip in. You paid the tip, but no one touched the tip.
No shit. No shit.
I like when you actually get fucked during a date.
Yeah.
Me, my asshole, and my hammock got fucking worse.
So that was your dating rock bottom. You said you thought it was a win. You thought you were winning an 18-year-old, and you're like, I'm winning.
I was. But you know what? It was a lesson learned, because the bitch, you know, I told her how much it cost. The girl orders fucking dessert, all this shit. I mean, she was going for broke. I'm surprised she didn't get a fucking after. I'm surprised she didn't get an after dinner mochaccino to fucking top it off. You know what I mean?
I'll have a lobster to go
and a nightcap. Can I have a nightcap? That'd be great.
Jesus Christ! So I bring the little fucking filly home, and I'm like trying to full court press, knowing that it's not going to go anywhere. And she kisses me on the cheek and goes away. And
strangely, I love her for this story.
I have finals.
So needless to say,
I got the SATs tomorrow. I can't stay here for this. You sucker.
So as a man over 30, that was the one and only time I dated an 18-year-old girl. So 18-year-old girl for one date. And, you know, I got new standards now, man. I got new standards.
21.
They gotta like fish, not lobster.
I want vegetarians. Graduated. I'll only date vegetarians. They gotta order a salad.
Yeah. So I don't know about you guys, but yeah, knowing that the $300 was just going to do, all it was really going to do is make my wallet lighter, and I had the story. That was it. No more dating. No more fucking dating 18-year-old girls, even no matter how mature, quote-unquote, they seem.
All right, we're going to our second story. We're going to Aaron, and he called this story Dine and Dash.
This story starts at a very familiar place, Bedlam, which we've talked about a lot. Bedlam is an after-hours club, and so I met this girl at 4 a.m. I went home at 5:30. I had that hour and a half to just crush it with this girl. I went home. I was a responsible young man. I was a gentleman. And the next day, she calls me. Right. She calls me and asks me if I'd like to go to dinner. The coincidental thing was I would love to go to dinner.
I love going to dinner. I do it almost every night.
I love it. I would love to go to dinner. And so I asked her where, you know, I was like, hey, do you want me to come pick you up? And we'll go somewhere. She's like, I was thinking Italian. I was like, I was thinking the same thing.
Perfect.
And no lobster there's there. One.
No lobster.
There's one affordable nationwide chain Italian place that happens to be right down
here. The OG? Is it the OG?
I do not count that as Italian. I'm talking about... Oh, wait. That,
what?
I'm talking about Carrabba's, which is also oh. Count as Italian.
Carrabba's is Italian. Italian in Louisiana. All
hey,
right.
That's what I'm saying. They have noodles. And, it's all Italian to me.
You're but so anyway, Pensacola. It's so hilarious.
But anyway, I knew a DJ who was a chef there. And I thought...
I felt like we glossed over that. Let me clarify. I knew a DJ... That was a chef there. That is what you said, right?
DJs make money.
But the thing is, like right now, there's like two dozen DJs out there going, wait, is that me? Is he talking about me?
I worked at Carrabba's.
Totally. Carrabba's got me started. And so he's drum and bass. Just kids. Anyway. And she was like, hey, I'll come pick you up. Unfortunately... The way I judge the success of a first date
right.
is whether or not I think I was funny.
If you were like, I'm hilarious, I win.
So this one, I thought it was a really good first date.
Right.
And plus, her dress was red. I don't remember anything she said.
Wait, you think success of first date is her dress is red?
Her dress was red.
I count that as a negative.
And I was hilarious. So I thought it was a pretty good first date. So she drives back towards my apartment, and she was like, so do you want to stop by my place? And I'm like, absolutely, I want to stop by your place.
Fantastic.
Absolutely. Well, it turns out it's the exact same way. She lives in the same ghetto I do. But she's like to the left.
She lives down the ghetto from you.
This is exactly right. She's pulling into her own complex, and she's going to make a left towards what I'm assuming is where her building is. And right. She just slams on the brakes. She just hits the brakes and like squeaks the tires. Like, she gives a little bark, and I'm like, whoa, with a little whiplash. And she opens her door, and she jumps out and says, I'm sorry.
What the what?
And then she bolts. No. In her red dress and all, she's like, full speed, Olympic sprinter bolts. And is heading down the street. And I'm sitting in her car, and look, this was a long time ago, and I can't remember the band was playing, but it was right after Seattle was popular. like one of those apology bands that was like, you know what, grunge happened, but let's ease you back down into something that it really is cool.
Right.
And I'm sitting there, I listen to it, and the light is on, and the ignition is dinging. Yes, her door's open. And there was just a second or two where I got to stop and think, what the fuck just happened?
What did the fuck just happen?
Well, it was like 2 seconds later while I'm sitting there going, wow, did that happen? That all of a sudden everything turned like blue and red and blue and red and blue and red and red and blue. And there's just cops everywhere, and I'm hearing other tires squeak, and I'm just sitting there in the passenger side of a little red car that belonged to a little girl in a red dress who went sprinting down the sidewalk. When the cops are screaming,
are they on foot on her?
Oh, they're so they're so upset. I don't know what's going on with her. I don't know what's going on here. I don't know if you've heard any of the previous podcasts, but all I know is what's going on with me.
You know, you make a plan.
What's going on with me? And I am sitting there, and these cops are jumping out, and they're yelling, and they're fucking get out of the fucking car and fucking get on the ground. Show me your hands. And so I fucking get the fuck out of the car, and I get on the ground, and I show them my fucking hands.
Right.
And lay there, and I'm like, what the fuck just happened? I still have Carrabba's leftovers in little folded boxes in the back seat of this girl's red car.
Just remember, she's sorry.
I was just heading back to my little home in the ghetto, and they put me in the back of a car. And I'm just screaming at the top of my lungs, what, what? What? And nobody says anything, and I sit there. I sit there for about 20 minutes, and I see the girl. I see the girl accompanied by two officers. And they're bringing her back over, and they walk her right past me, and I'm sitting there talking to them. And finally, an officer comes up, and he wants to talk this out.
Right.
He wants to, like... talk this out. So he comes right up to me. He's like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah.
I was like, I gave the first guy my whole wallet. Not just my license, my whole wallet. You know who I am. Go purchase something at the Circle K. It's on me.
It might get declined. No big deal.
So he's like, look. How do you know her? And I was like, tonight. I met her last night at Bedlam. He's like, right. Bedlam.
Bedlam.
And I was like, yes, I met her at Bedlam. Aha!
Ah, you motherfucker.
Ah, Bedlam. I'm like, duh, 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 duh. I think I've seen you at Bedlam. You don't get to talk to me that way. Don't you judge me. Don't you get judgy. So anyway, long story short, it took me about another 30 to 45 minutes to convince them that I wasn't any part of her cocaine dealing conspiracy.
Wait, she's a cocaine dealer?
Oh, wait, yeah. Oh, hold on.
You just glossed over that.
Did you pay? The thing? I'm pretty sure by the questions they were asking me and the fact that they said, what did you know about the cocaine? They used that word.
They kept asking about
cocaine.
You know that?
That's how I knew I was in fucking trouble. People ask if you want to buy.
The big C word.
They want to ask you if you want to buy some blue. But when you're in trouble, they ask you if you wanted to buy some cocaine. It's like, no, I don't know anything about cocaine. I have leftovers in the back seat. I have friends who do cocaine, and I know that they never have leftovers in the back seat because they don't go to restaurants. Because
they're not hungry.
They have no appetite at all.
Perfect.
And that's when I was like, you know what? I'm going to stop dating. Especially dating in the ghetto.
Well, that's a good lesson to be learned right here. So the moral of the story is don't date out of the ghetto.
Wait.
Or definitely date out of the ghetto.
Yeah, I'm not sure which side of the ghetto is better. We'll get into that later.
They'll do anything. For a ride.
Hope you didn't pay.
I'll take the next story since I'm the only one that's gathered enough. I call this one Homeless to Hollywood. I was dating this girl for about 2 weeks. She was really hot. I had just gotten out of a long-term relationship. When I say long-term relationship, I mean I was dating this girl. We broke up. Then we got back together. And then we broke up again. So
yes. You said long-term relationship.
That's how it happens. That's how long-term
works. One has a long-term relationship that doesn't involve like 3 or 4 breakups.
Yeah. You get scared of the outside world. Then you go back in the safety of the relationship. And you're like, no, this is shitty. This is really bad. I'd rather go out there in the rain. At first, I thought she was a lesbian.
See, I can also see how you would think she was a lesbian.
Because at the time, the way I met her, she was all cuddled up next to the local lesbian that we all know. And I don't know who it could be in the Atlanta scene. Our local lesbian, she was like cuddled up next to her at brunch, which is so gay.
Why would you think that was a lesbian if you know anything about our local lesbian?
Our local lesbian.
Any girl she's hugged up with?
It's always straight.
Right on, lesbian!
Yeah, I know. But I had just gotten out of a long-term relationship, so I was in that whole fogged mode. I see her, I'm like, God, that chick's really, really hot. And so I start kind of talking to her. She starts actually talking to me to begin with. And then I find out from the lesbian, like, well, she's not like gay, but she's kind of into you. I'm like, awesome. So I take her on a date, And she can't call me on the phone. She actually has me Facebook message her. And I'm like, all right. She goes, yeah, well, I got a car accident and, you know, my phone got broken in the car accident. I'm like, oh, okay, when was the car accident? She goes, like, 3 weeks ago. I'm like, okay, well, that's a little bit longer to wait. Like, your phone got broken. Why is 3 weeks okay to wait?
Yeah, that's a sensible amount.
All right, that makes sense. And so but I was like, oh, whatever, she's really hot, I don't care. So I'm like, well, where do you live? And, you know, just give me your address, we'll go out and I'll come pick you up. Cause since her car was broken, because she got in the car accident, which broke her phone, right?
Right.
Right.
Sure. She's hot.
She's hot.
It doesn't matter how good.
So I drive,
viable her really story hot. Is.
I drive to her house, but her house happens to be said Atlanta lesbian's house. And I'm like, well, that's weird.
That is coincidental.
I was like, okay, cool. So I go pick her up. We end up doing this for about 2 weeks, where I go pick her up by messenger through Facebook first, and then, you know.
So now it's been 5 weeks, and she hasn't figured out her phone situation.
Right, right. At this point, the total number of weeks is 5 weeks without a phone, and I'm still messaging her through Facebook and picking her up because she can't figure out her phone.
I remember my first girlfriend.
Yeah. You son of a bitch.
I was going to say, it sounds like Tony.
So I go and pick her up very regularly and go pick her up, and we go on dates. You know, obviously, I pay for everything because I'm a gentleman and a scholar.
Yeah.
So
she has a credit card.
She comes to the point. Yeah, I have a credit card I'm not willing to pay for. So she ends up like staying over at my house a couple times. And it turns out where she like stays over at my house, she ends up staying like for the whole weekend. Like it's one of those.
Oh, I pick her up. She just can't get enough of you. She wants to have sex all the time.
Right. There's a lot of sex. But at some point, I'm like, don't you have to go to work?
No, sex is
slash and or home.
Yeah. Like, don't you have home or work? And she's like, well, no, because technically I'm between jobs and I was about to get this job at this other place. So I left my other job. And then they said that they weren't ready yet for me at the new job. So I'm like,
oh, no, we know between jobs. We know what that means.
So what ended up being the whole thing was, I was like, wait, so where were you living before you were living with said lesbian? And she goes, well, I got kicked out of my last place, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, where are your things? She goes, well, all I have is this backpack. After 2 weeks of dating this chick, I suddenly realize I'm dating a homeless chick. I have been paying for everything, and the reason she's been staying at my house is because I'm the new sugar daddy.
Yep.
Who gives her a place to stay. I buy her meals, and I'm so much fun to be around, and I start realizing that I am just dating a homeless girl. And that was 2 weeks of my life where I'm like, yay! And then I just basically, this is the funny part of the story, the way I decided to break up with her, technically, I left her with a midget. I like
said lesbian left with said Atlanta midget.
It's like a sideshow freak show that I have going on as my love life. I just drop her with a midget. And he's like, wait. He's all like, wait, I thought she was staying with you. I'm like, no, she is with you, you jerk. And I leave, like, actually, the midget's really cool. I like him.
He's a really cool guy.
But I left her with a midget. And he was all bummed out. Actually, I was in your parking lot for your. I was at Aaron's parking lot for his apartment at the time. Because I left my car there. And she was supposed to hop into my car to ride back to my house. I got out of Aaron's apartment and I just looked at her and went, no, you're going with him. And then Mitch is looking at me, what am I supposed to do with her? I'm like, I don't know. Sounds like your problem. I left a homeless girl with a midget in Aaron's parking lot, got my car, drove home.
So earlier when you said you were a gentleman and a scholar.
I was lying out my devil ass.
it turns out later when he tells me the story, I'm like, man, that really pisses me off because I like that midget. Why didn't you tell him to come upstairs? Maybe we can have a beer, a fucking car bomb.
No, you give him a half beer. Two tsunami.
Yeah, but
he's still alive.
Yeah, he's still short though. Yeah, so yeah.
He can't reach the radio knob to turn on the thing. What's that talking about? This brings us to our last story. AJ, you got the story. You call it. Did anyone get the license plate on that Camry?
Yeah. So I was coming back from this date. Right. Actually dating this girl for a while. Old Sony Ericsson phone playing Snake.
Not paying any attention to her. She was pretty boring.
Don't date the story.
And, well, I don't remember what happened, but she just, like, stopped the car. She just stopped and started yelling at me. I'm like, hey, I don't know. I'm playing Snake. I don't know what's going on. Don't know what's happening. And she's like, get the fuck out.
I'm okay. I understand your situation.
Yeah, I'm like, get out.
Maybe you're doing the date wrong.
We're in Paulding County. I don't know these parts.
Right.
These people don't have teeth. It's like hills have eyes.
Right. I'm not getting out. It's not happening.
And she starts like hitting me. Like, get out. It's like, all right.
Did you fart?
Hitting you?
No, I didn't fart. I didn't have any.
I feel like we're missing something.
I didn't
this
fart.
Story.
I don't. Me too. I didn't have any protein or anything. No, nothing.
So I
no
get
fiber.
Out.
And I'm like, fuck you.
Right.
And she says it back to me. I was like, okay, she understands. So I walked to the front of the red burgundy Toyota Corolla, and I looked back at her. I was like, maybe she didn't understand. So one more time, I was like, fuck you.
Right.
And then I heard the vroom and the boom, and then I'm flying in the air, and I got hit by a car.
What? Hold on.
I guess she doesn't understand English, but she understands sign language. So she understands what I said outside of the car, but not inside.
Right. Well, you said fuck you inside the car. She didn't grasp it, but we gave it in front of the high beams.
It might have been the whore after the fuck you the second time.
Okay. The whore. I was about to ask you to tear into this whole story, but now I get it.
Well, I wasn't sure until after I walked 14.1 miles home.
Wait, you walked home after... Wait, she, first off, you walked in front of her car, you idiot.
Well, this is in 2007, so we don't have really the best technology. Like, you know, this is still in MySpace.
I know, you were playing Snake.
It's probably where I met her was off MySpace.
Right.
Whoa, easy. That was my year.
So
Aaron was in Tom's top 8.
Yeah, he was. He's so old.
Look, that's true. Don't be mean.
and I figured that was the end of the day when she drove off, you know, with the, you know, zzz, you know, I'm just like,
yeah,
you know.
Totally.
So I
played Snake for like 30 seconds on my walking spree, but then my phone died and I was like,
you burned your phone up. Playing Snake after getting hit by a car and limped home 14 miles?
I felt like
pretty much. But it was cool because it was, actually had New Balances on.
So this is very comfortable.
It was better because at the time we all wore Birkenstocks.
So, you're so young and cute.
So, but the thing is, I feel like we needed Tarantino something. What the hell?
Right, I
caused this to happen.
Well, I ended up finding out she found out I cheated on her with my ex-girlfriend in her own house.
Okay, so.
Go. There's a story right there.
Okay.
Don't house sit invite your ex-girlfriend over.
Oh, you M-nighted the shit out of me.
Yeah, I love that. It's like at the time you didn't know why you were getting kicked out. Now we all know why
now
you got kicked out.
Get it?
I wasn't paying attention.
I felt like we started at the wrong point.
Yeah. It's not even the 1800s at all.
The best part is when you walk 14 miles home and then you charge your phone, you get a text message from her mom saying, hey, we should all meet up and talk.
Yeah.
You want to know my reply was, who's driving?
Yeah, that,
my New Balance is
that New Balance shaped dent in her hood.
It was like Forrest Gump, the fucking sole was worn off. I thought I bought him in the Middle East or something.
Clearly your priorities are really
some air
like on key.
I'll be honest with you, I kind of side with the girl now. I was like, I was on your side.
She really fucked up my New Balance. What a bitch. I only cheated on her.
That's why I love AJ. That's why I love AJ. AJ, I'm glad you're here, man, because you suffer from the same side of psychoses that we all do.
This brings me to my favorite part of the show, the vent. Fuck, cock,
shit,
balls, God,
damn,
balls,
God,
balls,
God damn it, motherfucker, cut.
I hate this segment.
This is the part where we get to bitch about the shit that pisses us off. It's never sexist, racist, or anti-Semitic, but it could be racist, sexist, and anti-Semitic. Aaron, you got the first story. We call it the 1800s?
Yes. Actually, last night. This weekend. It started Friday.
Right.
I spent the weekend with my parents at a cabin in Helen, Georgia, which is
wow. Nice. You spent the weekend with people that invented the wheel?
Yes. Yes. You know what? It was nice. I like hanging out. My parents were there, my sister and her family, and my nephews. They rented this cabin in Helen. So I'm right here. It's just like an hour and 45 minutes if you drive by the factory outlets and just only spend a minute in the nice shops.
Right.
So I was like, man, I'll pop over there. And I did. And they found the one cabin in America that doesn't have any cell phone service. As soon as, like, Verizon dropped out on me, I have Verizon.
Which is covered every week.
Yeah, it's super elite. You guys, Google it. Look at the little maps with the spots on it.
So red.
They win the shit out of
covered
the internet. So when I found myself, like, 1.3 miles... I'll tell you about that in a second. Well, I got 1.3 miles out of Verizon's area is where this cabin was.
Right.
And I went in there and I was like, okay, you know what? That's fine. I don't need a cell phone service. All I need is just go ahead and plug up the Wi-Fi, and I pull up the little Wi-Fi finder app in my fucking phone, and I Google the shit out of it, and there's no Google, and there's no Wi-Fi. There's no Wi-Fi signal at all. It's like zero. It says zero. I've never been anywhere in my life that was like, there's no Wi-Fi, not even your neighbors with a little lock on it that's got the funny name.
Right, there's none.
Nothing. Nothing. Wi-Fi is like zero. And I was like, man, okay, this is fucked up. But I spent the whole week in there, this cabin, you know, hanging out with my family and everything. And then, like, every 6 to 8 hours, I would just beg off from my family and say, look, I need to go 1.3 miles, and I'll be back.
Be in touch with the rest of the world, right?
Yeah, so I'd jump in my car and drive 1.3 miles up to the top of the hill, and then, you know, be able to connect back with the world, spend a few minutes just seeing what's going on and check it up with Instagram and everything, because it's just really important. Hashtag, you know it.
Yes.
So I got to thinking about this because I felt like really disconnected from everyone and from you guys. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, you know what? Now I really understand what it's like to have lived in the 1800s. Back when you have to go out to the barn and take your mules and your horses and hitch them all up to the wagon.
Right.
And then drive them all the way up to the saloon at the top of the fucking mountain so that you could get a cell phone signal so you could create a hotspot on your smartphone so that your laptop could get a Wi-Fi connection so that you could, you know, Skype or whatever you need to do.
It was rough.
And like, update your Google Docs and make sure that, you know, fuck. And then you would have to, like, thanks, and just buy, like, a quart of fucking moonshine or something or whatever and have a shootout. And then and then go back to your house. I was like, man, I really understand what it was like to have lived back then. And it's really hard. It was really hard for people. And they're driving their wagons. And so I think we should all remember that when we live in this very modern society, that things weren't always so modern. Sometimes people have to drive to create a hotspot to make Wi-Fi for the laptop.
The poor Amish. What they have to deal with.
Seriously.
Fuck the Amish.
Jesus Christ.
You know what I hated most when I lived in Maryland was the Amish.
Really? You know, it's funny because I just saw a fucking show about Vanilla Ice in Amish country.
Well,
it was playing
Amish
on the fucking TV on whatever channel my parents were playing all the fucking time.
That was
a downfall. Vanilla Ice! And the thing is, they have like this like Amish-sounding person singing Ice Ice Baby during the commercial. And like, I found myself, the reason I noticed what it was, because I found myself singing, I'm like, yeah, I rock a mic like a candle. I do rock a mic like a candle. And then I look over the TV, and it's actually fucking Vanilla Ice in Amish country. We're going to go watch it. Look, after this, y'all are looking at me like you don't fucking leave me.
I believe it.
This is America in 19 whatever it is right now. And I'm telling you, this is true.
So, T, you have the next story on this whole
You're
thing.
You're making me twitch.
T, you call this my fantasy future.
Oh, yeah. No, fuck that, too. So, listen. This is my favorite part of the section, which is vent. And listen, my fantasy football. Look, okay. You joined fantasy in the stop.
Fantasy football?
You joined fantasy football because generally it's when you have a really shitty hometown team, which happens to be the Atlanta Falcons this year. Don't get me wrong. I'm Atlanta Falcons till I die, but we suck this year, and the only thing that will get me through the season is a good fantasy team, which I do not have, apparently.
Sure, that's why they call it fantasy.
And shut up. Listen. I thought
the games were going to be in Mordor.
I drafted the Hulk, and it didn't work out for me. They said that there is no one. I was like, it's a fantasy football team.
Bullshit.
Of course I'd have the Hulk as my tailback. Whatever.
Stupid.
So I was already misled in that. But the thing is, as you can do, you can be really intelligent on the game. You can fucking study the history of a football player and all the seasons. None of that. It means nothing. You can look at the projections of the players. None of that means shit.
You can just read article after article.
Ultimately, it comes to a fucking coin flip. I watch ESPN regularly and NFL.com, and I watch all of Adam Scheffler's fucking bullshit that he feeds me, and John Gruden's bullshit about what, you know, rookie quarterbacks are going to be great this year. And I fucking look at it, and I take that shit very seriously. And I'm like, you know what? If the Atlanta Falcons aren't having a good season, that's fine, because I have a great fantasy team.
Right.
Actually, fuck that. I have, like, multiple fantasy teams, so at least somebody can win. But every once in a while, there's one of those weeks where you just get fucked, right? And, like, you can have a great team that performs well, even.
Yes.
But you might be playing that person that's having that the high week. That motherfucker
like
that's playing fucking Joe Flacco on his fucking five touchdowns.
I feel like you're talking about me right now.
I would never do that. That would be disrespectful.
I feel like if we went downstairs back into the world where fantasy football is a real thing and matters to everybody in America.
It does.
That my team would be fucking led by Joe Flacco and whooping the fucking with shit out of you,
Joe
and your
Flacco
boyfriend
as your quarterback, and fucking Arian Foster as your tailback, as both of them. Joe Flacco,
best week ever.
Best week ever, and it's bullshit because you can't fucking predict it, and it doesn't matter how many stats you read or how many fucking.
How's your picks? Can pick them? Weren't you so pissed off about it?
Yes,
level
yes, because I don't know anything about football, and I was thinking, you know what? Fuck this. I'm not even going to be an American football fan. I'm going to be like a European football fan. I don't even. I don't know a single fucking soccer fucking team, but you know what? I'm going to find the one that's yellow and black.
Is David Beckham
still playing? I'm going to find the one that's yellow and black, and they're my favorite soccer football team, and I'm going to say, hooray, goal, whatever, for yellow and black soccer football team. I am going to buy your jersey next fucking week because I know nothing about American football.
It doesn't matter how much you study.
How much work
you put into it.
That doesn't matter. Cleveland beat the Steelers 42-10 today.
All right. Lock it up. All right, T, and you're going to close out the vent since you're bitching the whole time managerial mischief.
Any manager position at any place is fucking bullshit, and you should never take it because there's always the misinterpretation that by getting a upgrade in your position is that you're going to get a higher paycheck or any respect among the community. Blah blah blah.
I see. So in this workplace that you had, did you have all these papers and like a computer that you had to type into? Or were you serving food and or beverages?
I feel like you're making my bad thing into your good thing, which is not what the event is about. So one of the things that you have to deal with, and I'm sure I will have many segments on this because I've had to deal with a lot of shenanigans, to put it lightly. But the first one I want to start out with is fucking owner's friend. Huh. Because you know the name of the owner of the industry that said person is managing does not mean you fucking own said industry.
Well, look, I think you could do something right now for all of our listeners. If you would just tell them the establishment you're bitching about and the name of the owner, then all of our friends could go there right now and get this great discount,
so
right?
What you're saying is if someone walks in that knows the owner of the establishment and says, hey, I know blah, 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 I should get a discount or I should get something for free.
This is almost a throwback Thursday, if you will, of, hey, remember that time we talked about don't ever fucking name drop? That is the biggest pet peeve of all managers is name dropping. Okay. And if you come in saying, I know fucking Chad fucking owns this bitch.com, whatever, and you think that that's going to get you a free meal or a comp tab, that is totally inaccurate. Because what I'm going to do, or said manager will do, is fucking make sure that you pay for every goddamn cocktail that you fucking eat and drink. Because
I was about to say, like, I don't know if we should take this and make it public. That's pretty much how I've been able to afford to eat inside the perimeter for the last 8 years. And I would appreciate it if you didn't just, like, my secrets out to the whole fucking universe.
Oh, guess what? That shit works. Because ultimately, if they say, oh, I know, then you kind of have to abide by their law.
I know. Do you know as well? Because I thought it was just me.
Yeah, no.
And now I'm getting pissed off that everybody's like blabbing about
who
owns that.
I'm not going to eat it restaurant because that sounds like.
Oh, I think you fucking shit. Are if you want to have a good first date.
All right, if you have anything you want to bitch about, or if you have some story that where you just realized you were dating at rock bottom, send your story into the Devil's Business Podcast at gmail.com.
Notice all people emailing in with who were my first date, you're automatically disqualified. I don't need your help.
Thank you.
Be sure to wrap it up and sleep it off, everybody. Bye.
This has been a Zombie Werewolf production.